How's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of the Banker Next Door. I am your host, Dr. Joe Berquist. Today, I wanted to bring everybody the ICBA's second quarter regulatory update. So I'm going to bring in our little spreadsheet here. So I wanted to go through here and just talk very quickly about some of the things that are going on in the regulatory world right now in banking. I know everybody's favorite topic, near and dear to their hearts. Okay, so what do we got here? What are kind of the big ticket items here? So we got the Durbin-Marshall Amendment expansion legislation. So this is the ICBA has opposed this legislation to create new credit card routing mandates, expanding the Durbin Amendment's interchange restrictions, while the Credit Card Competition Act is designed to apply to banks with over $100 billion in assets, community banks would be forced to subsidize costly system-wide changes that would put customer data at risk. So that's one thing. Another thing is we have the strong support for the ICLA loophole bill. The Industrial Loan Company, or the ILC loophole, allows big tech and commercial companies to own essentially full-service FDIC-insured banks while evading holding company supervision. ICBA is promoting bipartisan legislation that would close the ILC loophole, grandfather existing ILCs, and address pending applications. Yes, I am a huge supporter of this. I have not liked the ILC loophole for quite some time, and that absolutely needs to be closed. Next thing, we have the Farm Bill and support for agriculture. So ICBA is aggressively advocating for rural community bank priorities, recommending 6 key principles for a new Farm Bill, which is now in development. So yes, definitely want to help out the farmers. This would be a good thing to support farmers and agriculture in the U.S. So the next thing is tax incentives for community bank agriculture and home loans. So ICBA supports the ACRE Act, the successor to the ECORA Act of the last Congress. The act, which enjoys bipartisan support, would create a tax exclusion for interest on loans secured by agricultural land and residential mortgages in rural communities. Again, yes, would definitely advocate for this one. It's a good one. Next, we have ICBA launches Check Fraud Task Force. So the task force, composed of more than 30 community banks and state bankers associations, was created to explore solutions to prevent, detect, and mitigate check fraud. The task force is just one component of ICBA's broader strategy to work with stakeholders in Congress, the agencies, law enforcement, and industry to reduce the burden of check fraud. So a lot of people may not realize the number one fraud that banks still have today is check fraud. If people could still believe it, I mean, obviously the number of checks being utilized has been dramatically reduced over the last 30 years. However, check fraud remains this very prevalent, you know, issue in the banking industry. And the check fraud, I believe it still accounts for probably about a 30% or maybe even a little bit more than 30% of all the fraud that, you know, banks have to deal with year in and year out. So definitely a big thing, definitely a very helpful thing there. So what are some of the results that we've seen? So we've got FDIC special assessment relief. That's always good. Now it says here, Congress rejects the 1071 rule. Well, yeah, they did. But then President Biden vetoed it, which was not a good thing. And then you had the federal district courts ruled against the 1071 rule, which they did. But that, you know, I don't, but again, I don't know that. So that this is still kind of playing its way out in the courts. I think there's a chance that maybe this does come back around again in Congress. So it, just so everybody knows, that the 1071 rule, that was part of the Dodd-Frank Act. And what that did was that was about collection of data points on small businesses. So they basically, you know, regulators wanted banks to collect a lot more data information on small business customers through the 1071 rule, through the Dodd-Frank Act. And basically a lot of banks pushed back on that and said, yeah, nah, we don't really need to be collecting all this extra data and information on our customers, especially since some of the, I would say, some of the data points were definitely already being collected, but it was definitely an expansion upon that. So we'll, like I said, to be continued. We'll have to see what else is there. So let's go to page 2. Challenging reckless junk fee rhetoric. So the ICBA is aggressively challenging the mischaracterization of legitimate overdraft fees and credit card fees for late payments. These clearly disclosed fees make possible services that consumers seek and rely on. The CFPB's proposal on overdraft and its final rule on credit card late fees will have negative unintended consequences for consumers. Obviously, we could get into a huge, long, probably an hour-long discussion on, you know, junk fees and what that means and the rhetoric and yada back and forth or whatever. But ultimately, I will just say that, the reducing of the overdraft fees may not be a bad thing, but it can hurt in, there's certain ways that it can hurt. And like I said, I'll have to go into that in a whole another episode. So then we get injunction granted against the CRA rule. So ICBA joined other national and state trade associations in a lawsuit filed in the Northern District of Texas against the Federal Reserve, FDIC, and OCC for exceeding their statutory authority and acting arbitrarily and capriciously in their revision of the CRA rule. The lawsuit asked the court to vacate the rule. The court has granted ICBA's motion for a preliminary injunction, concluding that the plaintiffs have a substantial likelihood of success on the merits of the case. So all implementation dates of the final rule are to be extended day for day as long as the injunction remains in place. Cannabis banking. ICBA supports legislation that would create a safe harbor from federal sanctions for financial institutions that serve cannabis-related businesses in states where cannabis is legal. So this is something that has come up again and again and again, and it's got a lot of fits and starts to it. Stops and starts to it. I don't know. Hopefully someday this will come up and hopefully we'll get some kind of resolution on the whole cannabis issue, because there are issues with that, because the fact that it's illegal at the federal level, but a lot of states have legalized it. So again, we'll have to, you know, keep an eye on what's going on there. Crypto assets and decentralized finance. So unregulated crypto assets included stable coins as well as decentralized finance threatened to disintermediate community banks and heighten risks for the wider economy and must be appropriately regulated. ICBA strongly opposes efforts to grant non-bank stablecoin issuers access to the Federal Reserve Master Account and to license novel non-bank issuers not subject to the same regulation as community banks. Yes, I absolutely agree with this 100%. We definitely don't want to be giving Federal Reserve Master accounts and to license non-bank issuers that basically, when, you know, community banks are facing, you know, these organizations are not facing the same regulation that you know, 99.9% of banks out there are facing. Next, we have central bank digital currency. The ICBA opposes a U.S. CBDC, which would compete with community banks' deposits needed to fund local lending and undermine consumer privacy, among others. Yes. I am adamantly opposed to a central bank digital currency. Do not want to see a central bank digital currency. Don't need it. Don't want it. And we need to fight tooth and nail to make sure that that never comes to be. ICBA anti-credit union something's wrong campaign. So following a surge in credit union acquisition of banks, ICBA launched its Something's Wrong targeted digital ad campaign and website to highlight the harm done by the credit union industry's aggressive and abusive exploitation of their tax exemption. So again, another long conversation there, but basically, you know, community banks, you know, it gets back to that whole idea of like, well, what is a community bank anymore? I think the definition of the community bank needs to be looked at, because community banks, a lot of them have gotten so big that they don't operate like community banks anymore. They just operate like commercial banks. And so that's something that needs to be looked at. Okay, what else we got here? We got the Section 1033 exemption. So ICBA is seeking accommodations for community banks in the implementation of its Dodd-Frank Section 1033 rule. This is also known as open banking. Again, something else that I am adamantly opposed to this, you know, definitely in the way that it's being constructed right now, because I think it would add a tremendous amount of cost onto every bank in this country. And I do not believe that customers' data would truly be secure. So again, we'll have to keep going on that, but I would highly recommend, if you're definitely interested in open banking or the Section 1033 rule, go and check out my episode on that. I will actually, I'll put a link to that below. And then finally, we'll round out with the last couple of things here. So restricting the sale of triggered leads. So ICBA is supporting by this bipartisan bills in the House and the Senate that would restrict credit reporting agencies from the sale of consumers' contact information when they apply for a residential mortgage. Again, yes, 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 and yes, this needs to go through because this practice needs to be stopped. And then finally, prescriptive and intrusive FDIC corporate governance proposal. So the ICBA opposes the FDIC's recently proposed guidelines that would raise the bar for the independence of board members, making it harder to recruit qualified directors and heighten liability risk for bank directors and officers, among other adverse changes. Yes, I again, totally agree with that and hope that we can make some headway with that one. So that is what I got for everybody. That is the second quarter regulatory update from the ICBA to bring everybody up to speed on kind of what are the big ticket items, so to speak, in the regulatory world right now as it relates to banking. So I hope everybody enjoyed this, and I will continue to bring everybody this quick update on a quarterly basis as ICBA does a great job in kind of putting out their little, you know, two-page advocacy and action memo, which is fantastic. So, but like I said, if everyone enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Please make sure to leave your comments below. Check us out on YouTube, Rumble, and all major podcast platforms. And please make sure to also check out some of the other episodes that I posted this weekend, including the weekly banking update. And I will be back to talk to everybody again real soon. Thanks a lot.